National Indigenous Peoples Day is June 21st, and CITR 101.9 FM is here to provide you a day of special programming and celebration, with programs on language revitalization, Inuit composers, and much, much more. All day, CITR will be broadcasting content by, with, and for Canada's Indigenous people, from Indigenous-focused music playlists and audio documentaries to in-studio interviews. Tune in Thursday, June 21st from 11 a.m. onwards to hear all of CITR's programming on Indigenous culture, identity, and heritage.
My friends, real friends, better than your friends. That's how we keep popping out that binge, yeah. No foes, real friends, we even gotta pretend, yeah. Get bands, spin it all on my friends.
Pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. Never let me down.
Pull me up, pull me up, pull me up.
Never let me drown.
Come pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. And never let me drown.
Never let me down.
Pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. I'll never hit the ground.
Never let me drown. Never let me drown.
My friends, real friends, better than your friends, yeah. That's how we keep popping out that binge, yeah. Both friends, real friends, better than your friends, yeah. SMS them, they know all my business. I don't know what I would do without all of my crew, yeah. I ain't making no room, yeah. I ain't making no new friends. I don't make no moves, yeah. Without telling my crew, yeah. That's just how we do, yeah. That's just how we do, oh. God damn it, I love my life.
I love it.
Stop on cliff, no way. Party when we go inside. Never let them out my sight. They're right by my side. Then my ride or die. Then my ride or die.
Rise.
My friends are goals, your friends are foes. We fly, why cry, our souls expose, yeah. We smoke, we laugh, your stress, my stress. Closer than kin, I'm blessed, you blessed.
10 toes, 10 toes, we was out in that road, looking for love in wrong places, we were posed to a stove, yeah. Share shoes, share clothes, that's how deep the shit goes, yeah. Every week y'all got bros, yeah. All of y'all fit clothes, yeah. Y'all switching sides like NBA teams just after halftime. I'm pulling up on my dog, make sure he okay. I don't even have time. They caught me a Porsche, but it's got seats just for they had meals. They're better than rappers and they don't even have bills. Is that real? For Emory or BM, as soon as he came home, we hopped on the plane. Head straight to the bay, that's how we turn the game on. It's game on. Time mama died, I was there. My nephew died, he was there. He in my house more than I be there, more than be there. Tie tie there, E there, breezy there, Juan there. Hot here, Shaka there, Lord there, they all here. Oh yeah, Dad's there, Kwana here. She feel like Nirvana here. Crib like the Soho house, I might stay in and grow out my hair. Tight circle, no squares. I'm geometrically opposed to you. Y'all like the triangles, y'all like the troll, do you? Y'all talk around hoes, do you? Y'all don't follow codes, do you? You know everything you say from niggas close to you. You emotional. When I say free the dogs, I free them. That's how Meek got his freedom. Y'all put niggas on a t-shirt. It hurts, you ain't never meet them. You got niggas in the fast. You ain't even trying to feed them. I'm trying to free the world. That's how deep I'm in. I ain't going to nobody nothing. And me and my wife beefing. I don't care if the house on fire. Dying nigga, I ain't leaving. Ta-ta take care of my kids. After he done grieving. Y'all don't understand that. We ain't meant to
pull
be
me
friends.
Up, pull me up, pull me up. Never let me down.
Never let me down.
Pull me up, pull me up, pull me up.
Never let me drown.
Never let me drown.
Pull me up, pull me up, pull me up.
Never let me down.
Never let me down.
Pull me up, pull me up, pull me up.
Never let me down.
Never let me drown.
Never let me down. They pray, pray for me. Pray, pray for me, see better things for me, you want better days for me, unselfishly. They pray, pray for me, they pray, pray for me, whenever I'm in need, they in the backseat, with the ox pumping beat.
Ain't no pride in love, ain't no pride in blood, am I, you know, but, am I, now, see your love, on my, on my,
what would I be without my friends?
What would I be?
I ain't got no understanding.
I ain't got no understanding.
Without them, you might just catch these hands. We fall out and we make amends. Yeah, yeah, my friends.
Your friends are foes, my friends are goals. Closer than can, our souls explode, yeah.
Your friends are frauds, all they want is applause, yeah. And my friends, real friends, closer than kin.
Pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. Them never let me drown.
Them pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. Them never let me down. Them pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. Them never let me down. Pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. Then pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. Then pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. Then pull me up, pull me up, pull me up.
Not dampen the spirits for the fans of this morning's College World Series game.
The sacrifices that we personally made to be here are incredible. My wife's boyfriend sold his prosthetic leg on Craigslist to afford me the opportunity to be here. But they get a long time. And I get a chance to be in Omaha.
Terry Powell.
That we personally made to be here are incredible. My wife's boyfriend sold his prosthetic leg on Craigslist to afford me the opportunity to be here. But they get a long time, and I get a chance to be in Omaha.
Terry Powell.
Good morning. You're here with All the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver radio station. Back. After a month, and if you didn't hear Beyonce and Jay-Z telling you about what friends mean, but also this man who made it to Omaha, shout out to him. He credited his wife's boyfriend who sold his prosthetic leg just so that he was able to make it to the College World Series. Now, if you didn't know how serious people took baseball, college baseball in the States, now you know. It's been a long time since I've been back on the radio, and while nothing has changed, it feels like in a month everything has changed. There's been so much that's gone on, but first, it's important every time you step into the studio here to acknowledge that we are broadcasted from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus. But also, particularly today, because it is National Indigenous Day, this Thursday, June 21st, we're going to get into that a little bit later, where I can tell you a little bit more about like what is going on here, and not only here in BC, but all over the country. If you've never listened to Off the Beaten Path, first off, that's a mistake. Second, we'd love to have you. So this is your first time, or whether you tune in every week and you've been missing me for a month, we'll be back and we're here. And what we'd like to do here is we'd like to talk a little bit about some local news, some national news, some world news, pretty much anything that piques my interest, I believe should pique your interest. And we like to talk about it. We like to try to understand it from maybe a little bit different perspective than you have. We like to have some guests on here. Sometimes it's just some really, really smart people. Sometimes those smart people happen to be my friends. Sometimes my friends we have on here aren't that smart. But they do provide an interesting perspective. And maybe we'll tell you a story that you've never heard of before. We like to start off with the weather. Now, had I done this last week or the week before, I would have a better weather report for you. However, this weekend, it's not shaping up to be as nice as the last one. Today, it'd be a high of 23, which is really high of 23 and mostly sunny, which is piss poor, particularly for the summer solstice, particularly because we've been having such lovely hot weather this past few weeks. But 23 isn't bad, but a 0% chance of precipitation. Tomorrow will be cloudy and a high of 18. Saturday, mostly sunny and 22 degrees. Sunday will be PM showers, a high of 21. And then for the rest of the week, it'll be partly cloudy, partly sunny, around 22, 23 degrees. Until Canada Day, where it's suspected to rain. And Canada Day, you don't know, is Sunday, July 1st. So a week from this Sunday. we could talk about how this Canada Day was meant to be the most important Canada Day to potheads all over. However, the Trudeau administration has changed it. And I feel like in this timing, it's not a bad move, even though I thought it was. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. So let's just get right into it. When I came across that clip of that man explaining exactly what happened, I had to listen to it three times. That's why I ran it back for you guys twice, because it's really incredible to see the amount of the openness that people can have. So when you think of somebody who lives in Omaha, Nebraska, who would go to the College World Series, like, you might think this person is closed-minded. This person is probably, you know, not thinking about others. Definitely not living in a progressive household. But don't let those things change you and change your mind. Because this person, this individual is just living his life, you know, lets his wife have a boyfriend. And not only does his wife have a boyfriend, but that wife boyfriend needs a prosthetic leg. So I'm going to guess maybe he's a veteran. I don't know. I'm speculating too much. However, you never know what's going on in some people's lives, and you never know what they're willing to say in front of a camera. Let's just jump right into the local news. Let's start off with the most. We're going to get to the pot later. We're going to get to the weed later. It's important to acknowledge always about, it's just like, what's going on here in BC's backyard. And so today is National Indigenous Peoples Day, and it's celebrated here in British Columbia with over 100 events. So if you'd like to be a part or learn a little bit more about Indigenous culture here, there's so many opportunities to do that today. There's free events literally all day. There's a pancake breakfast at the Aboriginal Friendship Center in Vancouver. There's a public parade that goes down from the center of Commercial Drive down to Trout Lake. If you want to go to the celebration of the Métis people and Inuit, that will be at Trout Lake from noon to 5 p.m., where they'll share stories, experiences, and songs. And I think that is incredibly important, because when we get to the stories later, talking about the separation of families at the border, and it's very interesting because there's like part of America who says, that, you know, like, this isn't America, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, that this is not like a lasting thing. But then there's another part of America who understands that, no, this is exactly what America is. And it's the same for Canada. It's easy for Canadians to, wag their finger at America, you know, they see the administration doing what they're doing. However, without acknowledging, like, the history of the First Nations peoples here in Canada, particularly, like, all over, and taking kids from their parents, you know, and feeling like the entitlement of the government to know what's best for the kids, particularly when people are just trying to live their lives. This is not something that's foreign to this Canadian soil. And so particularly on this Indigenous Peoples Day, you know, go down and listen to the stories. And if you feel like you can't be a part of what's going on in the States, and be here in your backyard and listen to the stories and the experiences of peoples who have gone through maybe not something similar, but something, you know, equally or more horrific. I don't think that there's anything putting two different people's experiences together, but and like which one is worse. But understand that it's not unique to America. So here in like Prince George, whether you're listening from Prince George or Victoria or Surrey, there's things every day, so every day at every hour. So if you want to be a part of that, I think you should, and take advantage of the people and their experiences and the learnings that you can come away from. Also, it's Pride Month. So, like, there is so much going on, and there's so many people who not only just need help, but also it's just important to understand that these people are living right next to you. So you don't have to, you know, talk on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or do whatever you want to do. You can always just tune in and help if you want. If you didn't see this, there was a streaker at the BC Lions game. And if you don't know me, you know that I like, if you don't know me, but you only listen to the show, you know that I like when people are attacked by animals. And so that doesn't just include like real animals. It includes like BC Lions. And so when people are acting stupid, particularly like streaking across a football field with professional athletes trying to run away from security, it's always nice to see someone get checked back into reality. Now, I really only had the pleasure to experience this one time in real life, and that was in 2009. I was playing football. We were at the University of Tennessee, and a streaker ran across, and I was so nervous that this was my first time in a game. So watching this, I was so nervous what was going on, didn't even realize that there was some random man running across the field, and he got smoked, but at least for him, he wasn't hit by somebody with equipment on. He was hit by a security guard, but I've never seen somebody's body swing like that. It was incredible. This man, however, this pantless man, he was hit by Marcel Young, who plays safety for the BC Lions, and he's suing the BC Lions. Now, the one thing that I find interesting about Canada versus the United States, because if you don't know, I'm American, it's that these type of frivolous lawsuits don't come as frequent as the United States. Like, I would, if this happened in the States and since the guy got a concussion, I would suspect that probably would argue that the BC Lions had made it too easy for him to get on the field, and so basically the BC Lions were negligent and liable for the injuries that happened to him. However, in Canada, they don't really have that type of like leniency for stupidity. So if you get hurt doing something stupid, or it seems to be your fault, they typically say good luck. It's also like, how entitled do you feel to like all parts of the world that you can just run into somebody's job, basically? Because that's what's happening when you run onto the field. You're running into someone's job and disrupt it. Not only disrupt their job, but disrupt the entertainment for tens of thousands of people. And when you get hurt, you feel like you're the victim. I hope that this doesn't dissuade people from streaking on the field, because I feel like it's one of life's great joys to watch when keeping it real goes wrong. And that was the last installment. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about Justin Trudeau legalizing marijuana. When is this going to happen? How is it going to happen? And what you can look forward to if you are a weed smoker or user. How are we talking about people like that?
She said, all of my bitches got friends. Yeah. All of my bitches got friends. And they bad, so we're good. It's enough for the click. Word. All of my bitches got friends. You don't need to pick. No, all
talk about it cause I live it now. So let me tell you about this PYT that I seen last week. I had to take a bow. 5'2 with a brown fur and a hair tie with them light eyes. And she would make me throw it all away for a fun time and a right prize. Bad as fuck, ass fatter than a hammer truck. Ass could probably keep my hammer tucked. The type to slide them down and then a penny stuck. I run a mug, wanna kick it with ya. Get a house and a picket with ya. Pop up on ya at your workplace, not your birthday. Just to let them niggas know I'm building with ya. Your best friend, I was coming through with that Macaulay Culkin when you're home alone. And I ain't even trying to dog you out, but can you feed a nigga just a little bone? One of you, one of me, you and me, we make three, or maybe four, and just two more, just to even scores. Step two, I had to play chess, had to hit her with the full press. Then I told her I'd do anything just to chat with her for a quick sec. Let it sit, let it process, then she went and shed, so yes. Whispered in her ear, told her, baby, I want less drama and more sex.
All of my bitches got friends, yeah. All of my bitches got friends. So we're good, it's enough for the click.
Word.
All of my bitches got friends. You don't need to pick. No, all of my bitches got
all of my
friends.
Women got friends. Most of them black with a blend. And most of them off on the ends. And they don't care who they offend. Look, I had a girl who was tatted up from the neck down. She was super crazy. Met a shorty with an ill grandma who would fight a lot. And she a 90s baby. Complained about me always on the road and talked to other women. And she wanted babies. Had to shake it like a common cold. Then I had a show and then I saw your baby. Then I book you. Now we texting back to back to back to back with no indication. Now I'm flying to you, taking you across the world to see a couple different faces. Hood nigga dreams. Fuck like movie scenes. Hit it from the back. Boost your self-esteem. Heard you left to visit cousin them. Reconnect them with your mama them. Now you want me to fly to Sweden. Have to fly you to the motherland. You is mine and I am yours. And used to mine when I go on tour. I ain't really trying to play no games. I could win the battle, you can win the war. I'm just trying to fucking love you. Either on the bed and we can take it to the floor. Crazy how this all started down. Cause I saw something that I can't ignore.
All of my bitches got friends. All of my bitches got friends. So we're good, it's enough for the click.
Word.
All of my bitches got friends. You don't need to pick. No, all of my bitches got friends.
If you and all your girls bad as fuck, put your hands up. If you and all your girls bad as fuck.
You're back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR Radio. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. So we'd like to state what's going on here in British Columbia. So if you hadn't heard, Canada will be the first country in the world to legalize, not just decriminalize, marijuana. And like, this was an announcement that was made, not only an announcement, but this is something that Justin Trudeau had ran on in 2016, which was basically the Liberal Party saying that they would legalize pot as early as possible. And so last year when it came out, when after basically like all of the political BS and bureaucracy, they came out and said that they would legalize it on July 1st, which would be a week from Sunday, which is Canada Day, but subsequently have rolled it back due to some understandings of, like, the First Nations people weren't, their voices weren't taken into account, particularly how it's going to affect their lands, and not only their lands, but, you know, their ability to buy and sell marijuana and become a part of the industry instead of just being instead of being takers and having the industry forced upon them. So it was moved out for that. I suspect it was also moved out because of the trade wars that are going on. And so as of October 17th, 2018 is the day that it's officially going to become legal here. I think that it's interesting because, like for many reasons. Like I remember when I first even like thought about like the legalization of marijuana and how you, it just seems like a universal good that obviously that the, it should be legal. Like people should not go to jail because, you know, they smoke or they are holding just a little bit of weed. Even if they had a lot of weed, like you don't put people in jail just for having like tons of alcohol, you know? So it doesn't, it's the prohibition seemed to not make any sense. And it seems in America, it's cost people's, not just cost people's like money, it costs people's lives. You know, people lose their lives over just having marijuana. So when it comes to becoming like making weed legal, it seems like it's such an easy and obvious decision. But when you when you dig deep down and you dig into like one, how it's going to become legal, how it's going to be regulated and distributed, and where's the money going to, you see that it's not so clear cut as just making it legal, because the people who hold on to the power, whether on, you know, in the legislation, you really begin to understand that it's really just about money. Like Jody Wilson, who is a premier, talks about how the legalization is good because it's going to keep criminals from getting rich. And for me, when I think about that, I just think it's like it's a different type of criminal and a different type of rich. Because now, I guess Canada will be able to see, but what we're seeing in the States is that the market is being held really by the same, almost by the same people who have continued to capitalize on the legalization of everything else. Like, you know, just everything else being legal, it's the capitalists who are benefiting. And so when you think about what is a criminal, what is a criminal? It's such a, I guess, loaded statement, because we believe, you know, the criminal to be someone who's just breaking the law. So just the idea that someone was getting rich before October 17th was getting rich off selling weed was a criminal before, but now that it's legal, criminals aren't getting rich, but other people are. You see, it doesn't make sense just based off of the legality. And we'll see how this is affected, because it's very strategic to put it in October of an election year, particularly right before November, when the Liberal Party is suffering so much here in not just BC, but really since the pipelines. And now you see Justin Trudeau has to stand toe-to-toe with Donald Trump when Canada's trading is going to be severely affected by the policies that are enacted or not enacted in the next few months. So it just seems like it's so much more loaded than just legalization of this substance, that I don't feel like anybody here in BC thinks it should be illegal anyways. But when you see, it's really about just money and the politics of it. Like, you just hope that we're going to do it the right way. Like, I've talked to some small business owners here in British Columbia, and you really get an understanding about what does the legalization look like and how does it affect them. Understanding that, you know, it's different from province to province. Like in Toronto, it will be sold by their provincial liquor stores. And so what that means is that there's only going to be one in the city of Toronto, in Scarborough. Now, if you've ever been to Toronto, that's like 45 minutes from downtown. So if you think that the legalization is going to stop criminals from getting rich or criminals from buying and selling, it won't, because it's not convenient or helpful for people. But here in BC, it's going to be a little different. It's going to be so regulated that, you know, you won't be able to have different packages. I'm curious how it's going to affect the brands here who sell the flowers, who try to differentiate themselves, based off of the farm or whether it's growing indoors or outdoors, because the packaging won't be able to tell whether or not it's legal or illegal during the packaging. And also, it's interesting because it's something I never thought about before was the bylaws that are going to have to change. So, like, you're not allowed to smoke cigarettes on the beach, but there's no rule against smoking weed on the beach right now. But when that, when the laws change and it becomes legal, they're going to have a rule about where and when you can smoke weed. And you're going to be able to get a ticket for it now, which would be interesting because when it was illegal, it was cool. But now it's legal and it may become less cool. So it'll be interesting. And if you're excited for that type of thing, if you like have been waiting for weed to become legal before you decided to indulge, this is your time. And it's important, also, it's important to acknowledge, again, not only is this National Indigenous Day, so like Indigenous Peoples Day, so you have to understand how these, all of these market forces, they work in like tandem. And so as we're seeing the effects of legalization of marijuana, it'll be interesting to see how it affects how the First Nations people get into the business and so aren't shut out here in Canada. But also we're seeing like a movement, like a power movement where Indigenous people are rolling back some of the, I don't know if it's leniency, but they're like walking into their power. And so here in BC, even the fish farms are going to require First Nations approval starting in 2022. There's taking some steps to reconciliation after like centuries of residential schools and forced adoptions and all these types and all these other atrocities. But what we're seeing here and is that we even have a National Indigenous Day here in Canada. And so continuing to see more and more of that is good. And so I think that the legalization of marijuana will be another step, and we'll see some more businesses come out of First Nations and more power. And so when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the States. There's like so much that's going on and so much that has gone on over the past few weeks that I'd like to not only get myself caught up, but get you guys caught up as well.
Look at the cash coming in. Come get your man's little booger bugging me. Just need a bag, quit out of jaw jackery. Don't even pass me that, I don't want none of it. He's freaking mad about it, had enough of it. Whoa, watch what you saying, how that popping is shaking. Got me hot as a laser, my posse dipping, I raiding. We act a fool for the paper, had a dream and I made it. El Camino on Dayton's, bitches guess over bait. Put the bread on me, bet on my bacon. Flat in the bacon, I might just roll out today. I might just roll out to Vegas, head back to my old ways. Cop a roof full of all day. Look at me, baby. Look at me, baby. Don't I look like a million? I'm about to clean out the safe. Don't I look like somebody that just be bodying everything? All that talking is great, but I don't be talking. I air it out. All the problems have gotten easy to bury. I'd rather drown him in Hendrix. I'd rather kiss on my Mary. I've been real for way longer than I've been rich. So until it levels out, I'ma take your mama to the Marriott and belly flop. Took me so long to get it, gonna spread it out. Let them know all about me when I'm dead and gone. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubba. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubba. Look at the cash, look at the cash, bubba. Look at the cash, bubba. One in the hand, one in the hand. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubba. Look at the cash, look at the cash, bubba. Look at the cash, bubba.
I'ma need all the fries you can give me, all the hot sauce, all the pie you can give me. Better be all or nothing, don't have me in the middle. You better be all you can, get high in the limit. Super fly for the Dumbos, plenty slides I can shuffle. Hit the cadence on my young girl. Isaac Hayes, Billy Ocean, about the old hoe with the cane stick. Let my slippers at the function. It's hard to run the Gucci slides. Chick, I thought you said you didn't have a husband. I'ma stab no. Jackie Chan, no travel. Can't clean it with a bean. Blood dripping from the cutthroat. No, no, not me. I can never be the one you wanna stuff for. Money, money, that machine. Spread the bell, got my stove. RIP the times that I was broke. Acting like a 9/11 folks. Matt back, liquor clean. Dead places in and I'm a local. Cooking up canard. Waiting for the antidote. Running out of time. Pictures thinner than a penny, ho.
Don't even empty your pockets. I don't do that. In my prison, you do what I tell you. Get over here. He's gonna get this.
Stay up. Got it. One in the hand, one in the bag. One in the hand, one in the bag. Look at the cash. Look at the cash bubbling. Look at the cash bubbling. One in the hand. One in the hand. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubbling. Look at the cash, look at the cash, bubbling. Look at the cash, bubbling.
Late night, call you in the late night. Trade love for one night. Two pills and a red wine. Circle blind, now I don't mind. The words that you don't say. No love when you hold me. No calling the next day. It's the one way, no. And now the sun is up, I'm coming down.
Nobody nowhere, I'm nobody nowhere.
We just blow it up, blow it out.
Sex, money, being style.
Baby, don't you cry.
Sex, money, being style.
Baby, don't you cry.
Sex, money, being style.
Ladies on my right. Afraid of the sunlight, not okay, it'll be alright. Two lines, one time, every night, every weekend, weeknight, oh my. Lights off when I wake up, tears under my makeup. Your lips will stay shut when I wake up, break up. I don't wanna think about you. Drink up, I'm so fucked up, all I want is you. No, I don't wanna think about you. Drink up, I'm so fucked up.
Sex, money, being style.
Baby, don't you cry.
Sex, money.
You're back at Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. If you'd like to call in other than just to tell me how much you like the show, I won't be able to put you on air. However, I will record the phone call, and maybe you'll make the PSA. If you like listening to my voice and you like listening to hip-hop music, you should tune in on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 every week to listen to Crimes and Treasons. That's me, Homeboy Jules, Relly Rouse, Horsepower, Jamal Steeles, Young Malik. And occasionally we have some guests. We had some really, really fire guests this past week. So if you like that, you can go on crimesandtreasons.com and you can listen to our podcast. There's over 14, 15, 12, 10. I don't think we actually know how many years, but it's over a decade. It's the best hip-hop show in Canada, so tune in. Also, if you like the music we play on the show, also if you like the types of music, because the types of music we play on this show, you can go on Spotify and you can type in Off the Beam Path and you can find the playlist. There's a playlist from every month, starting from last month. Yeah, so if you go on Spotify, just type in Off the Beam Path. You can see May's playlist. You can see June's playlist. It's a way to just connect. You know, we're all listening to the same music, understanding the same news, and understanding that there's so much more beyond like this tight sphere that we have, that it's important to expand. We were talking about this on Tuesday. But getting into some news from a little down south. I don't know if you have heard, but there was a rapper who was shot over the weekend. XXXTentacion. And like what I have to say about it, it's complicated. Like, it seems to be very controversial, but you know what is not controversial? That there's over 2,500 kids who have been separated from their families due to the United States immigration policy. So if you haven't heard, or if you hadn't been listening or been watching the news for the past almost feels like a decade, it maybe feels like forever, honestly. I feel like I'm from Washington, D.C., so like this is not something that is foreign to me, like talking about immigration and what does that mean? Like as a kid, we would play games being La Migra, and we would it was a thing, just like Ebola was a thing. It felt like, you know, Ebola was something we joked about, like immigration was something we joked about growing up, because it was like a threat for like my classmates and my friends, you know. And so like one of those things is felt like this uncomfortable truth, but like something to laugh at. But now as an adult, you realize like the seriousness of what is going on. Like I had friends in high school who got deported, people who I went to school with nearly my entire life, like people who I've known since I was, you know, a little kid growing up, and they get deported when they turn 18. You know, I've got friends who are deported as adults. I've got friends who have been held, who not only, you know, they like have different types of status in the United States and, you know, weren't being back to the country. Not only is this my friends, but it's my family. Like my father personally, he hasn't come to Canada to visit me. Like, I mean, if you know my father, you don't, you know, it could be something else. However, you know, he's scared because he only has a green card. He's scared that he won't be able to come back into the country because he's had a coworker who left the country to go visit family. And when they came back, they wouldn't let her back into the country for a misdemeanor that she had over 25 years ago. Like, the United States immigration is so archaic that these types of things happen. So if you hadn't been hearing that, or been watching the news or been reading anything or been on Twitter, or you've been living under an effing rock, what you wouldn't have noticed is that there's building tent cities in these detention centers that are in old Walmarts or old distribution centers or factories or wherever that they're housing these people, or jail cells. Is that this has really come to light because what we've been learning is that they've been separating families and putting children in detention centers, and not just putting children in detention centers, but they've been drugging children in detention centers. And there's a fear and a reality, not just a fear, that these people will never be reunited, because you have to understand that just because the United States government ships the parents back to the country where they came from, there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to do the same with the children, because you can't just put a kid on the plane. And there's so much, there's so many things that are just wrong about the immigration policy, but just wrong about, you know, what's going on. And it's finally coming to light, not only because kids are involved. We see that Donald Trump signed an executive order yesterday, but it's important to understand that just because he signed an executive order saying that he won't separate families at the border due to the immigration policy is not the end, because you don't want to be lulled into this idea that this thing is going to go away. So families won't be immediately separated at the border. However, where crossing the border now is a misdemeanor and is just like civil violation, what's going to happen is it's going to be changing to a criminal violation, which means that the parents won't be separated immediately. However, they will be incarcerated. And so once they're incarcerated, then the kids will be separated, because technically they'll have a reason to separate them. And so there's ways you can donate, or you can donate to lawyers or people going down to help, because you have to understand that once these parents go back to their country, that they are fleeing, they're not fleeing because it's fine. They're fleeing because obviously they feel like that they can have a better life here in the United States. And so once they go back to their country, they don't have the legal help. You know, they might not have the language. They might not, they definitely don't understand the criminal justice system here in the States. And so they are literally risking everything so that they can try to come to the United States and work and make a better life. And we are just making it incredibly hard, like in a place that needs more people. Like, I think I even saw there was a study that came out last week, which talked about the amount of, like, how this is the first time in American, like, first time in a long time that there are more job openings than unemployed people. And it just seemed, that seems stupid that we're turning away people who want to work. If there's more jobs than people who can work them, I mean, the logical thing would be to let people come in and work those jobs, because clearly, you know, we're not as productive as we once were. And it would be smart if we were continuing to work on that. So if you'd like to donate, you can just go on the ALCU's website, or you can go on RAICES. I don't know. I think it's Races or Rices. But what it is a nonprofit that helps send lawyers and people to these places so that they can try to help this family reunification. It is important also to acknowledge that that these, like, forced adoptions and like tearing kids away from their families isn't just a now problem, a modern problem. I feel like this is probably something that, you know, when they had Japanese internment camps here in Canada and in the States, or residential schools here in Canada, or or internment camps for the Chinese in the States, or slavery, or Jim Crow, or any of these all human rights violations, or, you know, taking away people's rights to vote, counting people as 3/5 of human beings. Like, these are all things that we've said, wow, one, I can't believe that ever happened. Two, I can't believe that's, you know, that something like that would never happen again today. But what we're witnessing is that these things are happening again, and they are happening today. And it's important to understand, like, which side of history are you going to stand on? Like, we continue to acknowledge and see police officers killing unarmed people, kids too. Two kids in Pittsburgh were shot over the past 2 days by police officers. They're both running away from police. Not only were they running, they were just, listen, like, I feel like I've told this story before, but we used to play a game when I was growing up where you would see a police officer and you'd just start running for no reason. And, like, little did we know how dangerous that game was, because at any moment, you know, it feels like literally could have been me at 12 years old running away from the police as a joke in a game. Police officer could have just, like, at least police officers back then would chase us. They, I'm sure, surely would be upset when they caught us and realized that we weren't running for anything. We're just running because we're kids. But police officers today feel comfortable enough to just pull out a gun and shoot, which seems ridiculous until you realize that there's, like, this level of brazenness that we have like evolved into where it doesn't even matter anymore. The police. So if you hadn't been familiar, I'm sorry. I'm just going all over. But if you hadn't been familiar, there was a Milwaukee Bucks basketball player who was beaten and tased by the police a few months ago. And the body camera was so bad that not only did the Bucks organizationally put a very, very strong letter against the police, but, you know, it really moved politicians to acknowledge what was going on. However, the same police officer who wrote, like, in a joking fashion, I met, I can't remember the individual's name, but I met ex so-and-so Bucks player at work today, the night that he was tased, when J.R. Smith missed that opportunity to close out game one, he wrote, I wish I would meet J.R. Smith the same way I met the other individual. And so you see, like, this talking about it on Facebook as a joke is just like a example of like where we are at right now. So there's so much going on, and if you find that these things move you, and if you see the pictures of the kids holding up fences, holding onto fences, or underneath those shitty, you know, aluminum blankets, or you see the tent cities, and you're moved by the fact that adults are, you know, forced to, you know, walk in lines and, you know, sleep 20 into a bunk. If these types of things move you, and this isn't the type of place that you like to see, like, this isn't the future that you like to see, like, I suggest that you try to make some changes and try to do something to help, because everybody always wants to help, but they don't feel like there's a way. There's so many ways. If you can just Google them, or you can go on Off the Beaten Path's Facebook page, and you can see where to make donations and how you can take part. You can also see which one of your friends have donated, so you can, like, shame people into donating, which I don't think is such a bad thing. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about some interesting things that have taken place in the past week. Stay tuned. You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. If you'd like to find our podcast, they are on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath. You can go on facebook.com/otbp20xx. You can just tune in every week, and then you won't even have to listen to the podcast because you will have heard it all. So one of the last things. One of the things that I feel like needs to be discussed is something I feel like is, you might feel a little odd coming from me. So there is a research company here. Like, there's research companies all over. And so if you are, so what happens is that you get a survey, and so you fill out the survey, and these research companies try to collect this data so that they can, determine what are the moods of the people, what are the values of people, what are they believing in. And so there was a survey, asking all types of questions. And so within the questions, there's questions about, like, do you believe there's too much immigration and if it threatens the purity of the country? Society has gone too far in granting rights for gays and lesbians. Other questions like, a woman's place is in a home. I agree, definitely agree, don't agree, strongly disagree. And so this company people have filed complaints. Well, I would say people, a person has filed a complaint, and it's been continuing to gain steam. What they're going to do is they're going to start rewording the questions or stop asking questions like that. And when I was curious, because this is something that research is my profession, and understanding these types of things, I feel like is important. Like, I don't ever think it's important to not understand, do people actually think society is going too far in granting rights for gays and lesbians? One, I don't think that we've gone far enough. But two, it's important to understand the pulse of actually what are people thinking. And so, like, looking at the man who's complaining, I don't know if he is gay or not. So maybe that question particularly offended him. But I think, he's a white guy. And so when they, if you read the article on the CBC, it's in the Vancouver, the British Columbia section, you can see, but he's complaining about these questions, talking about do you believe that, racism exists, strongly disagree, and talking about how offensive these questions are, when I believe these questions are not offensive. They're very important to understand, like, what's the temperature of these social issues, and how are people thinking? Because I personally, when I hear about stories of people discriminating, particularly like the cakes, where people refuse to make cakes for gay weddings, like, I see those stories, and I personally, I'm like, please, please tell me that you hate black people and gay people and disabled people and, special needs people and homeless people, so that I personally can just not shop with you. I don't want racism I feel like we have this battle between trying to eliminate racism and then actually just wanting people to hide it. And the surveys, and, like, I think that censoring a survey is the wrong way to do it. So, I don't believe that they should roll these types of questions back, because they're just questions. And I think that, like, in a society where, like, these people are afraid to ask these questions, knowing that the answers are actually what's uncomfortable, not the questions. Like, I feel like these questions are making these people feel uncomfortable, because it causes you to actually reflect and think that maybe you might be a bigot because you might feel a certain way, and that's okay, because if it causes people to be introspective and think about the actions, maybe they might change. However, eliminating the questions isn't helping anybody. It's definitely not helping the transparency for people who might be in these groups who just really want to know, are you going to treat me like shit up front, or am I going to have to wait until a situation arises where I can, like, kind of gleam that you maybe not on the up and up. And I think those types of things are important. So, I personally am all for like, racist and bigoted people letting me know that they're racist and bigoted, because it allows me to know what I'm dealing with. Because when they hide it,